This is a story that should be told. It happened when I was a boy in the old neighborhood, back in 1953. There was a couple, Andrew and Polly, who ran a little grocery store on the corner across from the priest rectory. They were very well liked. They moved from a small town in southern Indiana in the late 30s and opened their little store in our neighborhood. Every July, without fail, they would close the store for 3 weeks and go back to their hometown for a visit. Polly ran the store during the day while Andrew went to work as a salesman at the shoe store a few blocks away. They weren't fluent in Polish or Lithuanian, which so many in the area spoke, but they made a point of learning enough to make their customers happy. Polly loved children, so it was especially sad that she didn't have any. She was gentle and sweet to all the children in the neighborhood, usually doling out little penny candies to them when they came into the store or even when she came across them playing out in the street. Polly always carried little hard candy treats with her. It was the same with Andrew at the shoe store. He was everyone's favorite salesman. The children liked him for his humor. He could be so silly with them, tickling the bottom of their feet while he measured them for new shoes or doing a Porky Pig imitation. The ladies liked him for his patience as he tried on so many pairs of shoes. He always seemed to know what looked best on them. Andrew and Polly had each other. Andrew could be described as round. He was short with a round head that held his big horn-rimmed glasses. Polly could be described as pudgy with short, graying brown hair that complemented her gentle brown eyes. You would often see them hand in hand, strolling through our little park on warm spring evenings. The couple loved their parish church and were active in it, volunteering for whatever events that were coming up. You would see them every Sunday and Holy Day sitting in the same pew. One day, Andrew was shopping in the men's department of the Goblet store in our neighborhood. After he made his purchase, he walked over to the stairs leading down to the main floor. Suddenly, he clutched his chest. Seconds later, he collapsed and fell down the stairs. He was dead before he hit the landing. As he fell down the stairs, his shirt got caught on something and was torn open. When the other customers ran to his aid, it was obvious to them that Andrew was not a man. When the ambulance came and he was rushed to the hospital, it was declared that he was not only dead, but he was not a man. And even before Andrew reached the hospital, the news spread through the telephone lines like wildfire. If you didn't have a phone, somebody was knocking on your door to relate the most shocking news since Pearl Harbor, in their estimation.
And so we learn that Andrew and Polly had a relationship that their neighbors, when realizing it, just couldn't handle it. It's the 1950s. We're in a working-class community on Chicago's South Side, mostly immigrants from Poland and Lithuania, very traditional, very Catholic. And the surviving member of this couple, Polly, must mourn Andrew's loss without support from her former friends. What inspired you to write this story?
There was a little grocery store and two women ran it, and I took it from there. It was just all imagination. But I feel that this is the reaction that would have happened, because there was never anything out of the ordinary in that neighborhood. Everybody was married. Everybody had children. There was never anything that was slightly different. And everybody was religious. And I believe this is what would have happened.
In another story, Abraham, we meet Abraham Blumenthal, a man who sells ladies' scarves and trinkets out of a suitcase.
Yes.
He's popular in the neighborhood, but nobody seems to know his name.
Yes.
All of his customers call him the Jew.
Right.
The storyteller here is a young girl named Christine who's curious about this man who often visits her home to sell things to her mother, and he ignores little Christine. One day, Christine follows him home, and Christine learns a secret that this man has been keeping for many years. His family was wiped out in the Holocaust. Now, post-Holocaust stories have been told many times, but you have a young Catholic American girl as the narrator.
Yes.
Why did you choose Christine to be the one to hear Abraham's story?
This story had a lot of truth to it. We did have a Jewish peddler that came to the neighborhood on Saturdays, and he was extremely popular with the ladies. They all came, and that's where they bought their doilies and babushkas. And he always ignored me. You know, my grandmother would make me leave because I was getting too involved. And I always wondered what happened to him and where he came from and where did he actually live. So in this story, I kind of answered those questions.
The setting for these stories, yes. Neighborhoods near the Chicago stockyards, the back of the yards,
yes.
You call them. What is it like today?
Today it is very Hispanic. Growing up there, it was not unusual to have trucks go by that had the sheep and the cows and the pigs on their way to the stockyards because we were that close. Everybody had relatives that worked there, starting with the turn of the century when the immigrants came. My grandparents worked there. Those immigrants struggled so hard to make houses and make good lives and businesses and all of that. And they did an incredible job and they faced a lot of hardship. And as you grew older, like with my uncles and aunts, the objective was to leave. You moved to better neighborhoods. And that's what happened over the years. So a lot of the things that I grew up with and my friends grew up with and my relatives, they're gone. But it's not a horrible neighborhood. It's just never going to be an affluent neighborhood.
Hmm. I suppose you could have written a memoir about your childhood growing up, but you tell the story through fiction.
Yes.
How come?
It's easier.
Why is it easier?
I'm not sure. The memories aren't always good. And when you're doing fiction, you could change things. I have a tendency to want to fix things. When you're doing fiction, you can make it right, you can make it wrong. You could punish somebody that you feel needs to be punished. You can do that when you're doing fiction. In real life, it doesn't work out that way. In real life, people that you love dearly will die. You could take that same scenario and say, well, now he survived.
You got very specific there a moment ago. You can punish someone
yes.
through fiction. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Care to tell us a little more?
I've went from writing short stories into writing crime series. And that's when you could really punish somebody. You could take that bad guy and you could really let him have it at the end of the story. So that, it does, it's a catharsis. You feel good. It's like I've had control and this one character was so awful, I'm able to give him just rewards and make sure he gets his punishment. So there's something liberating about that.
Sandra Colbert is the author of the story collection Chicago Bound at WNIJ.org. You can see a video of her reading one of the stories we talked about, Abraham. Sandra Colbert, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Dan, for having me.